You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Thursday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is January 23rd, and today I wanted to talk about our three newest inductees into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, sometimes I think we forget how great some of these players were as they're getting inducted into the Hall, mainly because they have to wait 5 years before they're on the ballot. Some guys wait even longer than that to actually get inducted. And typically, most players have a little bit of a fall off, you know, at the end of their career. It's perfectly normal. But, you know, so it's probably been maybe a decade, even longer, for some of these guys since we've really seen them in their prime. So I wanted to kind of do the due diligence, go through each of these guys, at least their major stats, and just kind of give them, you know, the credit they deserve for their outstanding career. So the first one I want to talk about was Billy Wagner. So he played 16 seasons in the MLB. More than half of those were with the Astros. He was a seven-time All-Star. He finished in the top six for the Cy Young twice. He also finished with a 2.31 career ERA, which is incredible on its own, but he also had a whip that was below one, which is just insane for any pitcher. And he only had one season where his ERA was even above three. So I think that was in a shortened season where he only played like 28 games back in like 2000, I think, as well. But anyway, so he finished his career with just under 1,200 strikeouts in 903 innings pitched. He had 422 career saves, which is good for eighth all time. And this was his 10th and final year on the ballot, so he just finally snuck in with 83% of the vote this year. The next one up is CC Sabathia. So CC will always have a special place in my heart. You know, growing up as a young Cleveland fan, he is one of the first names that I truly remember rooting for, like him, Jim Thome, Omar Vizquel, a couple other guys. I probably remembered him mainly because I liked his name, but yeah, he's one of the first ones, even as a really young kid, going to the ballpark and knowing who he was and trying to you know, find him on the field if he was pitching that day. So he'll like I said, always have a special place in my heart. But anyway, he played for 19 years. His first eight were in Cleveland, and then a majority of the rest of his time was with the Yankees. He was a six-time All-Star, the 2007 Cy Young Award winner, and then he also won the 2009 ALCS MVP on the way to winning the World Series that year with the Yankees. He also finished second in the 2001 Rookie of the Year voting. He lost that to a man that we will be talking about in a minute here. He finished top 15 in the MVP voting in four separate seasons. He finished with 251 wins, and he had 21 in 2010 for the Yankees. He had a career ERA of 3.74, a whip of 1.26, and he finished with 3,093 strikeouts. This was his first year on the ballot. He got 87% of the vote, so obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. So congrats to CeCe there. But then the last guy that we are going to talk about is Ichiro. So he was just one vote shy of being a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. We'll talk about that a little more in a bit. So he played 19 seasons in the MLB. 14 of those were with Seattle. Then he split the rest of his time with the Yankees and the Marlins. But we also can't forget, he played nine seasons professionally in Japan before coming over to the MLB. So he had, I think he had over 1,200 hits there, like over 100 home runs. And that's a lot of mileage before coming over to play in America, which just make his stats even more staggering to know that he did all of that, you know, after age 27, after already playing nine seasons of professional ball. He came over, he still put up over 3,000 hits. I think he had, man, what was it total? He had like 3,000 and I know I've got it down here. So 3,089 hits. And he hit a career batting average of 311. I don't know if we'll ever see anyone else, at least in the near future, finish with a career batting average over 300 again, just the way the game has changed. But yeah, so as we mentioned before, he was the reason that CeCe finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2001. Because Ichiro won it, but he also won AL MVP that year, which is insane to do in your first season in the bigs. He hit 350, he had 242 hits, he had 56 stolen bases, just an insane season for his rookie year. And then so he would also go on to be named an All-Star in his first 10 seasons in the majors. He also won a gold glove in each of those first 10 seasons. And then he ended up winning the batting title twice. He was a three-time Silver Slugger. And just as a little cherry on top, he was the MVP of the 2007 All-Star Game. So just an incredible career from Ichiro. You tally up his Japan or Japanese and his American stats, he had like over 4,200 hits and 200 home runs. Just incredible longevity from him to perform that long and that well. So congrats to him. But we kind of mentioned a little bit about the one vote short of being a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. And I was thinking a lot about this, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized how much I dislike the voting process for the Hall of Fame in the MLB. So just to kind of go through it real briefly, just the quick and dirty. So basically, you can't get on the ballot until you've been retired for 5 years in most cases. And every year you end up with probably about 25 to 30 guys on the ballot. And then it's voted on by the Baseball Writers of America or Baseball Writers Association. Same thing. Anyway, the BBWA. And so it's voted on by them. Each voter can only vote for up to 10 guys on their ballot each year. So even if there's like 11 guys that you think are truly eligible for the Hall of Fame, you can only vote for 10. And you have to get 75% of the vote to be inducted. And if you don't get 5% of the vote, then you're taken off the ballot. You can't get into the Hall of Fame. So I think there's a few flaws here. The first one being that you can only vote for 10 guys. If there are multiple guys or like, you know, 11, 15, 20 guys that are, you know, true Hall of Famers, then you're already going to dilute the vote there. And then I think the bigger issue though, is that we get so caught up with guys being either unanimous Hall of Famers, first ballot Hall of Famers, or like second ballot, whatever. And when it comes to baseball, the Hall of Fame is already such an elite group. Like basketball lets everybody in. Football lets a lot of guys in. Baseball is only the top couple percent of players ever to play the game. And so it's not like this is an elite group where you need to kind of tier them within the Hall of Fame. You know, Mariano Rivera was the only unanimous guy. And then is it even that accurate? You know, would you say he's better than some of the other historical players of all time? You know, even as great as he was, probably not. So do the tiers even really matter? I would argue that in the long run, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. And in MLB, I think that's good enough. I don't think we need to try to separate that or put them into separate buckets beyond that, where you're first ballot or second ballot or whatever, because I think it gets so messy and you almost, it almost requires collusion among the writers to make sure that it plays out correctly. And it typically does. So I have a little bit of a hard time criticizing the system because it typically works out for the most part. You can make it some other arguments about like the steroid guys or like Curt Schilling, but for the most part, you get the right guys in, but it still seems very messy to me. So for example, like the guy that didn't vote for Ichiro. So he, let's say his argument was probably that he just didn't want it to be unanimous, but what if every other single voter did the same thing? Like, unless if they colluded, you don't know that. So what if they all just said, oh, we don't want it to be unanimous, I'm not going to vote for him. And then he gets in zero votes. Like, this is a guy that is clearly a Hall of Famer and like potentially, it's very rare, like probably won't happen, but like potentially could have been left off the ballot just for an agenda. And same for, you know, pretty much anyone else. So even like Billy Wagner, this was his final year on the ballot. What changed this year for those writers between his 10th year and his 9th year or any of the years prior to that? It doesn't make any sense to me, especially in baseball, which is such a, you know, a data-driven, analytic, numbers-based sport. The numbers have not changed since he retired. Like, they've been the same for 10 years. What in your mind made him a Hall of Famer now that he wasn't 10 years ago? And that's why I think the way the current system is, it allows for all these other agendas to be in play, and it's too messy for me. I don't like it. And I think it's a tough balance. Unless you're colluding, which isn't necessarily even bad that they have the collusion in this system because it allows it to kind of work. I'm sure they talk amongst themselves and try and, you know, make sure things end up working out correctly. But for a guy like Billy Wagner, you have to make sure that he doesn't get less than 5% of the vote because you want him on the ballot. If you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, you just don't want it to be his first or second or ninth year. But then you also have to make sure that he doesn't get 75% of the vote so he doesn't actually get in yet. And so either way, you're kind of like whipping the writers into, you know, this space where you make sure it's somewhat in the middle, maybe slightly increasing each year. It just feels messy. I don't like it. And I don't think it's great for the fans either. It's just too many agendas, too much power, even for one person to say, oh, well, now he's not a unanimous guy. He's not as good as Mariano Rivera or whatever, you know, you want your argument to me. I don't like it. So, you know, if I could change it, which I don't think it will, at least for a long time, baseball is just too rooted in tradition, too many old heads. I would love to see some type of system where maybe it's like 3 years after they retire. 5 years feels like a lot. I'm sure there's probably some precedent that I don't know about. You know, maybe they're just trying to make sure you're not like a horrible person in the 5 years after, you know, you retire, so you're actually worthy of the Hall. But I would like to see like 3 years after they retire, and then you're on the ballot and it is a yes or no, because it's already binary between each writer. You're just choosing yes or no. You're not like voting your own percentage. So yes or no. And if they get 75%, they're in. And if they don't, then they're not. And so you're either, you know, it's just you're in or you're not. And that's it. There's no more of these games. Why are you making Billy Wagner wait 10 years to get into the Hall of Fame? If you thought he was a Hall of Famer, then he's a Hall of Famer. What are we waiting for? It does. I would like to just see it. It's immediate. There's no more agenda. No more separating guys into buckets. If you're good enough to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, then you're good enough. And you belong to be there, and that's all that matters. In 40 years, are we going to look back, and is anyone going to distinguish between CeCe and Billy Wagner? Probably not. They're going to say, oh, they're both in the Hall of Fame. They both have their plaque. Did it matter that CeCe got in on the first try and then it took Wagner 10? Doubtful. I don't think anyone's going to care. So I would like to see that change, but like I said, probably won't be for a while, but who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. So anyway, with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Thursday episode of the Daily Dime. As always, thank you for watching and listening. And if you would, please subscribe to the show and like and comment, rate, subscribe, everything. but anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.